Nat Ford, let's begin with you. As I said, just eye-popping Skyway ridership numbers during OneSpark, up almost 104%. That had to be an exciting week for you.
Wasn't that fantastic? And just a testament to the importance of having the Skyway and what it means for downtown redevelopment and the heart of the city, and being able to have an event like that, a world-class event, and the Skyway to be a center attraction of it, and to be a major component of getting those numbers safely to and from the event.
For those who aren't familiar with your background, you have a deep bench of experience managing large-scale transit systems in other cities. Can you share that with our listeners and how you'll bring that experience to bear here on the First Coast?
Well, most recently, I headed up the San Francisco MTA, and a very diverse multimodal organization that was responsible for transit as well as parking and traffic and taxis and things of that nature. And clearly a city like San Francisco, transit is first, and that's the mode of transportation that they encourage in terms of citizens and moving large numbers of people around. So pretty straightforward there. Transit is the solution. But prior to that, I was in Atlanta, and Atlanta is similar to Jacksonville. We do have a large transit system there, but there is that debate and discussion about, is transit a viable option? So it's those experiences that I bring to the table working in San Francisco, where transit is the, every minute counts in terms of transportation. And then Atlanta, where you're trying to build a ridership and build support for transit. And I see Jacksonville in that same light in terms of coming to Jacksonville and being able to build a system that, serves and is a choice for other purposes, transportation needs.
And as we talk about transit, another big question right now involves whether the city will extend its 6-cent gas tax to fund road and transit projects. Ed Burr, immediate past chair of the JTA board, can you bring us up to date on where that discussion stands?
I can, Melissa, and thank you very much. And at JTA, we're fortunate to be able to hire Nat Ford, who's got such a great background in transit, and to help Jacksonville look forward in building a transit system here. One of our key funding sources of mass transit is the local option gas tax. People have, it was dedicated by the city to us when during the Better Jacksonville plan that local option gas tax would be for transit purposes. As you've looked through cities in the Southeast and the rest of the country, all great urban cities, all great downtowns, all great cities have great mass transit systems. So it's important that we keep our mass transit system going and enhance what we have under Nat's leadership, and passing the local option gas tax is important to that. Bill Gulliford, I think the president of the city council, has introduced legislation. It's in the process of going through the city council today or these weeks. And, we're here to, help support that process as much as we can.
Do you think you have the votes for this?
We're not in the process of lobbying city council. This is city council's decision on how this gets passed. Our board obviously will be voting on what would be called the interlocal agreement. And I believe we have support among our board for the concepts that have been purported to be in the interlocal agreement, but that is yet to be drafted. It's being finalized as we speak.
And as that discussion continues, Nat Ford, so many questions on the phone lines, on Twitter, emails flowing in, and they're all about how the JTA will implement its long-term vision for transit. Anyone who visits your website can look at the strategic plan. In the long-range planning includes increased commuter rail, among other spokes of the wheel. My question to you is, obviously, if the event warrants, we've seen during OneSpark, people will ride the rails. How then do we increase, how do we improve political will and develop funding for your plan for increased commuter rail in this area when those have been such long-term challenges?
Exactly. Very good question. The challenge that we have in terms of transit in our community is really understanding, and I think with the general populations and our citizens, getting them to truly understand and believe the importance of public transportation and what it brings to our community in terms of economic development, and then accessibility to jobs, accessibility to getting to the doctor, to your loved ones, and things of that nature. The transit operation doesn't have a large penetration as it relates to travel trips, work trips, and social trips, things of that nature. What we're working on right now is solidifying and strengthening the current system. Most recently, we've been able to improve the on-time performance, the key component improve our on-time performance. But moreover, over the last 30 years, our route structure has not really changed over the last 30 years. And as all of you citizens in Jacksonville are aware, things have relocated, where you work, the hospitals, the schools, things of that nature. So November 24th of this year, we're going to do a major restructuring of all of our routes, making them faster, more direct, and making the system more economically sustainable. Those, the revenue and the money that we save from, you know, a more efficient system, more direct system, increasing our ridership, can then be reinvested into solutions such as light rail and commuter rail and things of that nature. But we've got to get our house in order first, and that's what we're working on now, and then revitalizing our system. Another component of this is real-time passenger information that we'll be implementing as part of this restructuring, so we can educate and make it more comfortable and easier to use for those folks who are unfamiliar with public transit and the JTA system. So we have a lot of initiatives underway that will build the case and support for commuter rail in the future.
Ed Byrd, do you see this coming to fruition? The long-range plan looks at rail lines from downtown to the air, to the north side, downtown to St. Augustine, downtown to Green Cove Springs, I believe, in the next 20 years.
That's right, Melissa. I mean, obviously, this is a long-term vision. But, you know, Jacksonville's a city on the move. Jacksonville's a city that aspires to be a great city and a great urban environment. And, you know, these are essential ingredients to being a great city. I think there is the political will, and it's growing. Obviously, getting choice riders is our job to earn that ridership. It's our job to make it convenient and safe and comfortable and fun. And that's what NAT's going to work on, so that people will choose to ride a transit. You cannot build a great downtown, which we all aspire for, and on the backs of the automobile. It's got to be enhanced with mass transit. And I think the future of our city is dependent on NAT success and JTA success.
Meanwhile, lots of calls, emails, and tweets for JTA CEO and past board chairs Nat Ford and Ed Burr this morning. What are your questions about transit on the First Coast? 549-2937. Danny in Jacksonville has been holding. Hey, Danny, thanks for holding. Good morning.
Good morning to you. I just wanted to say that I thought that the Skyway was in its own form entertainment as much as one spark. I really do. I looked at people and they were excited about it. I think they felt like they had gone to a portal and into another city. So I think capturing that excitement for any type of event downtown is key. Even if it is free, if you get people hooked on it, then eventually they will come when there's a fee and it takes them someplace else. It was a great experience to be a part of that. And on a separate note, support, I met a coworker of yours recently, Alice, and she was delightful.
I don't know who Alice is, but I'm sure you guys do.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Thank you, Danny. And she's right. I rode the Skyway several times during the festival, and there was so much excitement.
Melissa, I think that's a great example of what we just talked about, of how the city's moving. Before Nat came, he wasn't here when there was a movement to tear the Skyway down.
Yeah.
And that wasn't that. That was 24, 30 months ago. And look at the enthusiasm now over the Skyway.
People want to see it. Nat Ford, I'll read you a few of the tweets we're getting. People want to see it expanded.
Well, I want to see it expanded also. In fact, one of my homework assignments last night was reviewing an application for a Tiger grant to build the Brooklyn station. So the deadline for submitting that application to Washington, D.C. is April 28th, and we are putting our best foot forward. And if we're successful, we'll have the first extension in literally decades. And I think that will be the catapult that we need to further expand the Skyway.
Lots of tweets about the Skyway from Peter. Having just two cars on the Skyway is ridiculous. Let's get more cars. Richard tweets the show, no more baby steps. I want the Skyway to go to the arena. We've got to take it home from the AFC Championship game this season. Here's a tweet from another listener. Please extend the Skyway to the beach, at least to Girvan. Another tweet. Can you ask the CEO if they will extend the Skyway to the sports complex and the arena? That's the most common question we get.
Well, that's what we're looking for. That support will allow us to build the consensus here locally and at the federal level to get the funding to expand the Skyway. And I think the idea is to look at our private sector partners, too, and see what development opportunities can also help with expanding the Skyway.
Theo in Atlantic Beach. Theo, thanks for holding. Good morning from the beaches.
Good morning, Melissa. Good morning, Nat. The Skyway was originally built just as a hub. We said, well, we'll put our toe in the door and we'll build the hub, and then later we'll build the spokes. And that second shoe never dropped. And we can't event our way to fiscal solvency with the Skyway. We've got to go ahead and build those spokes. And all the naysayers talk about the fact that there's no ridership. Well, when you have to drive downtown or very close to downtown to then get out of your car and ride the last mile or so on the Skyway, we're driving to the hub and then just riding the hub around. We desperately need those spokes to the high population centers of Orange Park, Mandarin, Northside and the airport, and yes, the beaches.
Thank you for the call, Theo. Can you both talk a little bit about how the Skyway and also the JTA bus system could address what he's discussing, what he mentioned?
That's what I was trying to refer to earlier about this major route restructuring that we're looking at. We are starting from scratch. We are, you know, sort of abandoning some of the old routes that have been here for decades and are very inefficient and not very direct, and restructuring the entire system first time in over really a generation. That, along with our bus rapid transit projects, we have two projects that are underway, starting construction this summer. The north line that will be going up Lem Turner, and then we have a south line that's coming from Phillips Highway. And the idea is to create direct, coordinated services that will be an adequate choice or be a sufficient choice to get people out of their cars, use the rapid transit system, then make their final connection with the Skyway if necessary, or a transfer. Also as part of this plan, in terms of the Brooklyn station expansion, is a bike sharing program. So we're looking at transportation from a more holistic perspective, looking at parking and how it relates to our transit system and the Skyway and our bus system.
Ed.
And I think the point Nat makes is that it's not a 20-year wait for the spoke system that Theo's asking for. A bus rapid transit will be the first leg of that system. And we have a north and a south corridor going on now. There's an east corridor plan that will reach out to the beaches. And that's really the start of making mass transit a choice for riders that other than just the necessity to ride, and we'll be able to enhance the downtown distribution system.
Lots of emails. Scott emails the show. The problem with the Skyway is it needs to go where people want to go. If the Skyway went to the stadium, ridership would quadruple. It would then go next to the arena, the baseball park, Metro Park, the fairgrounds. We need to see this happen. Michael emails the show. I love the Skyway, but I still have to drive from home to get on the train. I use it simply for cheaper parking. If you want more people to use public transit, you must provide travel from home areas to downtown. I want land rail from Regency, Bay Meadows, Orange Park, and other areas to provide alternatives to crossing the bridges by car. And we're getting lots and lots of tweets about the bus system in Jacksonville. Ben tweets the show, I need to know where the bus is. Show me on a map that the bus is on the way. From Jay, when will we do away with the old-fashioned bus system, routing it all through downtown and get hubs, light rail, or BRT? Jay, the CEO just addressed that. They are completely reconfiguring the plan later this year. Wesley tweets the show, better transit will help people seeking jobs. We need it now. Brian, JTA needs to put scheduled data in a GTFS format for developers like Roadfly to build upon. And then another tweet, rumor has it JTA is working to improve its mobile apps that alert you to bus location. Any truth to that?
That is an accurate statement. Right now, we have the AR6 route, which runs from the Regency Square Mall to Rosa Park Station, is under a pilot right now with real-time passenger information. You could look it up on nextbus.com. Look up the city of Jacksonville under the Florida tab and look up the AR6. We will deploy that fully throughout our entire system as part of the route restructuring on November 24th. So November 24th is going to be a major day for JTA and its riders and for this community. New route structure, new way of doing business, and real-time passenger information.
And let's go to Mark on the west side. Hi, Mark. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry I didn't hear the first part of the show this morning, but this is outrageous what I'm hearing. We're wanting to expand the Skyway when we subsidize the Skyway, what, $4 million, $5 million a year of taxpayer money? I think it's all for the good if we want to make our bus system the best ever, but this is just boggles my mind. Also, from what I understand, the Skyway Express is not something we can go and add cars to and make it bigger. It's almost like it was handcrafted. It's not off-the-shelf kind of item. They probably don't even make a lot of that stuff anymore. So if we're going to ban the Skyway, which we can, we almost have to start from scratch. And you know, as people say, if we only expanded it to the stadium, the Gator Bowl, as I like to call it, for 12 games a year, how much would that cost for 12 games a year? This is just outrageous and frightening. It doesn't go to any places anybody wants to go. It wasn't designed that way. And if you want to keep, if you want to talk about building something completely new, I'll listen to you, but you cannot expand the existing Skyway Express.
That's Mark on the West Side. Okay, what about his question?
He raises some good points. I mean, technology-wise, there are issues with the Skyway, and if you were to expand it, you would not expand it with the same exact technology. You would have to look at some transition to a newer technology. As it relates to, going out to the stadium, the events are not the sole purpose for expanding the Skyway to the stadium. I think looking at it from a different perspective, we have miles, or almost literally miles, of asphalt that just sits out there. And what if we were able to expand the Skyway out to that area with the purpose of commuters parking there during the day and riding the Skyway in for the rest of their trip? So we have to look at it not as just
the monster truck jam.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of opportunities there. We do need to look at that. What would be the true cost of expanding the Skyway?
What would it cost?
Well, right now, that's part of our examination, because it's not just a simple expansion. It would really be a conversion of new technology. And that's something that when you look at a long-range plan over 20 years, we need to answer those questions now. And where does Jacksonville want to be 20 years from now? And clearly, the Skyway is a major piece of infrastructure that we have invested in. And so how do we make it work? And I think this past event shows that for certain events and certain times, it clearly is a major asset to this city.
Oh, I think that was proved over and over again. Ed?
Well, I think that you have to look at the Skyway as part of a system and not by itself. And we're still building the system. I think one of your earlier callers made that point. And as we enhance the commutes to downtown Jacksonville and use the Skyway as one of the distribution systems downtown, it will show the value of the Skyway in extending it out to the arena. There's a lot of events that happen out there besides just 10 football games and a monster truck jam. And so I think it's part of a system that we have to look at enhancing the entire system.
Chris in Mandarin is on the line with us. Hey, Chris, thanks for calling First Coast Connect. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I had two things I wanted to talk about. One of them was already addressed. It was about the buses and how terrible it is to sit and wait for a bus when you have no idea when it's coming and there's no hope in sight. I've had employees that used to ride the bus, and I'd meet them in the morning, and sometimes the buses just didn't come. They just didn't come.
What's your company, Chris?
That company I sold years and years ago.
Okay.
And the other thing I was thinking about, everybody's talking about the Skyway. You have a guy there who was in the planning department from San Francisco, right?
Well, we have the JTA CEO, Nat Ford, managed the transit system in San Francisco before coming here.
Okay. When the Skyway thing, it's I'm comparing it to BART. And in my mind, and BART just goes way out in all directions, and then it's filled to capacity with people, and they charge, I forget what it was, like a buck or two to ride. Do you think we're going to ever see anything even close to that, to where a rail system reaches out into the fingers of Jacksonville, supposedly the largest landmass city in the country?
Thank you for that question, Chris. Yeah. And that's the question many have. Mm-hmm. Nat Ford.
No, I think very interesting question. When we talk about rail projects and rail infrastructure, these decisions aren't made in a couple of decades. The actual BART system was under discussion and design back in the 50s. and actually went into service in the 70s and has consistently expanded from that point on. The costs are probably some of the highest costs per passenger in terms of fares and things of that nature. So it's not a couple of dollars, and but the people in the Bay Area, they have a strong support for transit and public transportation.
It's a different culture.
It's a different culture.
So is part of your problem cultural in terms of trying to expand transit in this area in a culture and a topography that really isn't designed for it?
Exactly. So when you look at the Bay Area, you have those densities that make transit work in some corridors. And, you know, we have that challenge here in terms of the geographical layout of Jacksonville. However, there is a system that would fit our community, and we need to design a system that will be sustainable and effective for our community. And so it's very difficult to mirror one jurisdiction or one city after another. We have to look at what works in our community. We do have the Skyway. We do have a pretty robust bus system that right now needs to be more friendly, customer friendly, and we're making those adjustments to attract more riders.
And we have an email just about that very thing from a listener out in Neptune Beach. I attended the public review meeting for the route restructuring and was excited about the new proposed system, but I can't find details of the new route system on JTA's website. When will we get a closer look at that?
That's right. Well, we are getting ready to do an upgrade to our website that will have specific information related to the route restructuring. We're doing our internal town hall meetings with the operators and getting their feedback. We're doing, and I appreciate the fact that someone mentioned we are doing some work in the public, getting feedback in terms of the route restructuring. And there is a full-blown campaign that's getting ready to launch any minute now to get everyone's input, riders and non-riders, in terms of what this system needs to look like.
And so as you work on that, Ed Burr, your final thoughts about the importance of the gas tax extension and that piece of the puzzle.
Thank you, Melissa. I think as you've heard from your callers this morning, there's a huge interest in expanding mass transit. And it's just the start. I think it's almost, almost to a tipping point. I don't think we're there yet. But what strides we've made in the last, couple of years. And under Nat's leadership, I think the JTA will fulfill its commitment to making transit a solid choice for riders and a pleasurable experience, one where you'll know when the bus is and where it is and when it's going to be there. It's important, though, that we don't take a step back. And if we lose if local option gas tax is not extended, whether it's now or later, doesn't matter, is not extended, then that's a devastating impact on mass transit. It'd be a 20%, 15 to 20% cuts in service. And that would be going backwards as a city. So I do encourage any of your listeners who want to see Jacksonville continue to grow, want to see a robust transit system, to encourage our city council member to support our local option gas tax legislation that's been introduced by President Guilford.
We thank you both so much for joining us. A very robust discussion, lots of interest. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you.